Would you take God's word and turn to two passages of scripture this morning? First of all, we want to go to Matthew chapter 6, and then we want to go to James chapter 4. Matthew chapter 6 and James chapter 4. Matthew chapter 6 this morning, and let's notice the words of the Lord Jesus in verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now to the book of James, James chapter 4, and look, if you would, at verse 8 through verse number 10. There's the book of Hebrews, and then there's the book of James, James chapter 4, and verse number 8 through verse 10. The word of God says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now keep your places in both of those passages as we'll go in and out of those this morning. And I want to preach a message entitled, Only a Prayer Away. Where do you go when trials come your way? Where do you go when the finances are low and the debt is high? Where do you go when facing family problems? Where do you go when the doctor has shared news with you that just rocks your world? You, church, can go to God because he is only a prayer away. The hymn writer wrote, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Now let me ask you, do you feel like you have mastered this subject of prayer? I know I don't. I have preached a lot about it through the years. I have read many books on the subject of prayer, and in some ways I still feel like I'm a beginner when it comes to the practice of prayer and what it all means and how it really works and so forth. Like, for instance, the Bible says, pray with faith believing. Now, I can do pretty good on the subject of praying and asking for something, but where I become weak at is many times is praying with faith believing, because that's important when you pray, to believe that God will answer prayer and having that faith to believe that he does. And so I would say that probably most of us can agree we have not mastered the subject of prayer in our life. And yet it is very important to us. And so this month, what we are going to do, we are going to learn how to pray more effectively and look at the teachings of Jesus and other passages of Scripture that will teach us how to pray. But I want to give you one key thought in this message this morning that I will build on, and that is this, that God is only a prayer away. Do you believe that? He is only a prayer away. Notice here, first of all, in Matthew's gospel, as he teaches here, Jesus talking about the subject of prayer. By the way, he talked a lot about prayer. But what he teaches us in verse number 5, he says, I don't want you to pray as hypocrites. He says the hypocrites in his day, they would pretty much make prayer like a public action. Hey, everybody, listen to me as I pray. Let me show you how I can pray and so forth. Jesus says that's hypocritical. Now, was Jesus saying that it's wrong to pray in public? No, we have public, I'll call on men here to pray, and we're leading you in worship. But in that day, the Pharisees in particular were very well known for being very hypocritical. They would go around and boast, we pray so many times a day and all of that. And Jesus says, I want you to do just the opposite of that. He says, I don't want you to pray as the hypocrites. What I want you to do is I want you, if you would, to go home when you pray and enter into your closet. And he says, there, God will meet with you. When you shut that door of your closet, then it's just you and God in that closet, or so to speak, in that room. It's just you and God, and it's not a matter of pretense. Hey, look how I can pray, and people will be impressed. That's just the opposite of what Jesus taught. He said, so what I want you to do is I want you to enter into your closet. And notice in verse number 6, twice he says the name of the Father. He says, the Father will meet with you. The Father will reward you. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in my life, I know when I pray that I want to know that God is listening. And when I pray, I understand, first of all, this truth. Since he's only a prayer away, God is near. God is near. He says that when you enter into that closet, you get along with God. God is right there with you. Now think about this. In James chapter 4, verse 8, he taught there, draw nigh or draw near to God. So, let's think about the character of God for a moment. Because we're just not talking, quote, as some people like to refer to God, as a man upstairs. We are talking about an awesome God. I don't want to dedicate the whole sermon to this morning. I could, but I just want to give you a glimpse that who we are praying to, the very character of God, that he, one, is our creator. The Bible says in Psalm 95, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator of not only of this world, but God is the creator of you and me. And the Bible then says to come and bow down before him. He is our Maker. He is our creator. He's also our sustainer. The Bible says in Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Jesus here in Matthew 6 calls him our Father. Now, I don't know what your relationship was or is like with your Father here on earth. I'm so thankful for the Father that God put into my life, though he is the one that adopted me, but in all of tense and purposes, he's dad to me. And I don't really necessarily call him father, I just call him dad. And he's been so good to me over these many years since he came into my life at the age of 3. And so when I think about my dad, I think about also my heavenly Father. That God is not only our creator and our sustainer, but he is our Father. In fact, in the book of Romans, it says that we call him Abba, Father. In other words, it's a term of reverence that we call God, Father. But then the Bible reveals to us that God is all wise. Think about this. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. He understands your thought afar off. There's no one else that can do that. Only God, your creator, can know what you're going to think before you think it. Isn't that awesome? He is an all-wise God, so wise that Daniel, in his Old Testament book, wrote this. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and to knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Daniel says, I am acknowledging that my God is an all-wise God. Then the Bible says that God also is all-powerful. For instance, in Psalm 62 and verse number 11, the Bible says that power belongs unto God. All power belongs unto Him. How powerful is our God? Think about these things. He spoke this universe into existence. That's the power of God. Where He could say, "Let there be light," and boom, there was light. The Bible says He commanded and it was created. That's the power of God. He scooped up the dust, from the ground and formed man. Think about that. He just, if you would, just got a scoop of dust in his hand, and from that he formed man and breathed into his nostrils, the Bible says, the breath of life. That's the power of God. From that, then, He put Adam to sleep, and while Adam is sleeping, He takes a rib from Adam and He forms a woman. That's the power of God. He then hangs the stars in space. That's the power of God. He created the sun and the moon and hung them in space. That's the power of God. He then parted the Red Sea so Israel could cross on dry ground. That is the power of God. He, God, brought water from a rock. Have you ever seen that done? Oh, Moses did. He had that rod of God in his hand, and God said, "Now strike the rock," and water came forth to provide water for the thirsty Israelites. That's the power of God. When Jesus is on the ship with His disciples and there's a big storm that comes and the disciples are in panic mode, they go to Jesus and He's sleeping, the Bible says, and they wake up Jesus and say, "Don't you care that we're going to die?" And Jesus said, "Peace, be still to the winds and the waves." And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" That's the power of God. He saved our soul. That's the power of God. How that God can take man lost in darkness of sin and bring them out of that darkness into light, save them by His amazing grace. That's the power of God. No man can do that. Only God can do that. May I say to you that this God who is all powerful is very near to you. He's only a prayer away. But notice also that God is pure. And we must be pure. In James chapter 4, I want you to see this. In James chapter 4, verse number 8, where He gives this command to draw near to God, and then He'll draw nigh to us. He then says this in verse 8, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So, since God is only a prayer away, may I ask you, have you ever felt, though, that God seemed to be miles away from you? Maybe, maybe not. But have you considered in those times, why? Why would God seem miles away from me if after what the Bible says here, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to me, then why is it at times I feel like He's miles away from me in my life? Well, the Bible gives us an answer. It's not the only answer, but it is a huge answer. And the answer is this, is that sin hinders prayer. Sin will, in my own life, it will hinder prayer if it goes unchecked. If I do not deal with sin in my life, not that I'm ever going to be perfect, neither are you. But if we allow known sin in our life, here's what the Bible says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Another way of saying that is this. If I know I have known sin in my life, then here's the rest of that verse. The Lord will not hear me. Wow. The God of the universe, the God who is all-powerful, the God who is my sustainer, he says there's one thing that's, so to speak, going to block my ears to your prayer is unchecked sin in your life. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Anytime we disobey God, anytime we hold unforgiveness towards someone, anytime we are bitter towards someone, all of that is sin and hinders our prayer life. Notice in this passage in verse 8, he says, cleanse your hands. That means that defiled hands. The Bible says when you pray, lift up holy hands. Does that mean we have to lift up our hands when we pray? Not necessarily. There are people that do that, and that's fine. But the emphasis is not on necessarily when I pray, I got to lift up hands, but the emphasis is on this. When you pray, lift up holy hands. That's why he says here, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Then he says in the context, a dirty heart. A heart that is defiled, a heart that is dirty, can keep me from having an effective prayer life. Then a double mind, he says, then purify your heart, you double-minded. So prayer will make a man cease from sin, but sin will make a man cease from prayer. And again, I can't help but go back to Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. To be so specific about this, you know, when a husband and wife are spatting, they're fighting, and things just aren't going right. You know what the Bible says? That even in that relationship, according to 1 Peter, that hinders your prayer life. You read 1 Peter chapter 3, and I think it's about verse 7 or so, and it talks about that. He says, now, husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge and so forth, giving honor unto her. Why? He closes that verse out this way, so that your prayers are not hindered. So you see, whenever in our life relationships aren't what they ought to be, whenever in our life we allow known sin to be there, then sin hinders prayer. I can't say it any other way. That's how the Bible says it here for us. And it says to cleanse yourself. But there's good news, church. When we sin, God is only a prayer away. Now follow what the Bible is saying in this. So I sin. What do I do about it? Well, 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The songwriter wrote, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus that was shed over 2,000 years ago is still powerful today. It is what we claim for the forgiveness of our sin. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sin, what does that mean? That means I'm saying the same thing about sin, my sin, as God is saying about it. If I lie, then I have to say that, if you would, to God. God, I lied. I can't rationalize that away. Well, I told a little white lie. No, in the ears of God, if you would, in the mind of God, a lie is a lie. And so if I'm going to confess my sin, I've got to say the same thing about sin as God says about it. If we confess, here's the rest of that verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me give you a quick Bible example of this. In Psalm 51, we have the great repentant prayer of David. David is now broken. David committed adultery. That was bad enough. But then David had Bathsheba's husband murdered. I mean, this is all bad. I mean, it went from bad to worse. And to even make matters even more difficult for himself, He tried to cover it up. And you read about this in Psalm 32. He says, while I was trying to cover it up, man, I was dying inside. I knew I wasn't right with God. I knew things just weren't right. And then a man comes to me by the name of Nathan, and he shares a little parable with me, a little story with me. And at the end of that story, he says, David, you're the man. He says, now I realize, this is David, now I realize I have been found out. I can't hide this anymore. I can't cover it up anymore. So what does he do? He does what any Christian should do when they're not right with God, but they want to get right with God. They just come before God and say, God, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I have sinned against you. Lord, would you purify me? Lord, would you cleanse me? And then David cried out, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And David was able to get right with God and have that joy once again that he knew. And you see, that is how we in our life, when we realize we want to grow in our prayer life, but there are times in our life when we may allow sin in it. Again, none of us are perfect. I get that. But when we allow known sin, when we know we are being knowingly disobedient to God in any matter of our life, that is sin. And so what do we do about it? We claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is only a prayer away. He is near. He is pure. And then I love this, what the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, is that He will draw nigh to you. You see, I don't pray just to pray. I pray with confidence that God will answer. Look up this way for a moment. I have not always had my prayers answered the way I was praying. How about you? I haven't always had my prayers answered the way I was praying. Does that mean that God did not answer? No. This is where I have to trust that God knows better than me, and He does. He always does. His way is perfect. His ways are past finding out, the Bible says. So I've got to trust in Him, and He may answer the prayer, if you would, the way that I have asked. Or He may answer a different way. Either way, He will answer. Remember in Matthew chapter 6 that we read, when Jesus says, when you enter into your closet, you shut the door and you pray to the Father, then He will reward you. In other words, He will answer you. I mean, God is a God who not only hears prayer, He answers prayer. Do you believe that? Say amen. He answers prayer. He's answered many of our prayers over the years. And thank God for that. You know what that does? That encourages them with great confidence to keep coming back and keep praying. We can lean on the promises that God will answer. When life deals you an unexpected blow and it hits you with a setback, I want you to know that God is only a prayer away. When you are facing problems with your kids and it seems as if they get caught in pitfall after pitfall, I want you to know that your Heavenly Father is only a prayer away. When you go to the doctor and he tells you that you have to be concerned about your health now because your body is falling apart, I want to tell you this morning that God is only a prayer away. And when you go to work and your supervisor tells you your job will terminate at the end of the day, God is only a prayer away. God answered Daniel when he was in the lion's den. God answered the prayer of the Hebrew boys when they were in the fiery furnace. God answered prayer when Paul and Silas were in prison. God answered the prayer of Jonah when he was in the belly of the whale. And God answered the prayer for Peter when he began to walk in the water and he began to sink. He cried out and said, "Lord, save me." The Lord heard him that day and saved him. Church, God is only a prayer away. He is near. He cares for you. He loves you. And he knows what's best in your life. I know sometimes when we pray, as I said a moment ago, I haven't always had my prayers answered the way I wanted them to be answered. That frustrated me, kind of bummed me out for a little bit. But you know, I had to step away from that and realize either God is perfect or he is not. And he is. And I also had to trust in this, that his way is best for my life. Do you believe that? I know sometimes when you really pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray about a situation and you're praying for clarity, you're praying for maybe even sometimes to get out of a situation. I've been there. And God just seems to leave you in it. Does that mean he's mad at you? Does that mean he doesn't love you? Does that mean he doesn't care about your situation? No to all of the above. Because God does care for you. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so when you in your prayer life at times are in those tight spots, and you wonder even maybe, is God even listening? I've had people through the years as pastor tell me that, "Pastor, I don't even know if God hears me anymore. I don't even know, you know, I think he's just forgotten about me." I've literally had people say those very words because they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and prayed about a situation. But I'm telling you this morning, and I trust you, don't take it as cliche, God has not forgotten about you. He has not. He cares for you. I don't stand before you as one understanding the mind of God. I cannot tell you, for instance, and we know Brother Wayne and his situation, but I can't come alongside you and say, "Pastor, why did I get cancer?" I'm not going to sit there and pretend I know why you have cancer. I know he does. Right? I know he does. I can't come alongside a couple, and I've had to do this. I remember so clearly when I pastored up north and I had a family that was in my church, and I get this phone call, "Pastor, get to the hospital quick. They're rushing mom to the hospital. She's had a major heart attack." I was only eight miles away from the hospital, and up north, well, speed limits mean something, but nonetheless, I mean, I quickly got there and I waited with the family, and then to be alongside that family when the doctor came out and said, "I'm sorry. She's gone." You know, at that point, I didn't have, so to speak, a lot of rock-solid answers. Why God allowed this? Why did God take Mom now? I mean, I could give them answers, but I didn't think that they were ready for them at that time. You see, we pray sometimes, and we want God to answer it our way, and there's times, many times, he doesn't. But here is a verse. I want to close with this. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's where I want to lean. But I don't have understanding like God. But he says, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. I believe that with all of my heart. His way is best. Now, church, our God is only a prayer away. Amen. He is near because he is near. Draw near to him today. He is pure. So check in your life. Be sure you're pure in heart. And God answers prayer. Trust him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now their heads bowed and their eyes closed. You know, this morning I've shared with you a great truth. God is only a prayer away. I know there are times in our life when he seems miles away from us. But for the child of God, he promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now, I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, Pastor, if you could just be honest before God. Say, Pastor, right now, I am struggling in prayer because I feel like God is miles away from me. And I'm really struggling with some of the answers I've been getting from him lately. And I would that you would remember me in prayer, that I would be strong in the Lord, and that I would not become bitter towards God because he didn't answer a prayer the way I wanted it to be answered, but that I would trust him and know that his way is best. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand right where you're at? That way I can remember you in prayer. Yes, God bless you. Someone else this morning. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Someone else while we wait. Yes, God bless you. Someone else. Would there be some here this morning who would say, Pastor, in my life, as you said at the outset of the message, I haven't mastered prayer. And during this month, I'm really going to ask God to teach me a lot about prayer so that my prayer life would be strengthened, because it needs to be. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand right where you're at? Say, yes, Pastor, remember me in prayer, that during this month, preaching on prayer, that I will learn a lot and that God will use into my life to strengthen me. Would you lift your hand right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? While we wait? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Really wanting God to teach me a lot about prayer through his word this month. Anybody else while we wait? Anyone else? Now, one other question, that is this. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? He wants to be. That's really technically the first prayer you need to pray, Lord, save me. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Savior? Have you ever believed on him as the only way to heaven? If you haven't, then today, won't you cry out and say, Lord, save me? And he will do that very thing. Because he said in his word, whosoever, that's me, you, anyone, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And today, if you're not saved, won't you cry out and say, Lord, save me? He's only a prayer away. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to be baptized to get saved. You just put your faith and trust only in Jesus Christ, and He will forgive you of all of your sin, and you will enter into a loving relationship with God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ as Savior. If that's your need, when this invitation starts here in a moment, I'm going to encourage you to step out, come take my hand, say, Pastor, that's my need. We'll sit down, we'll talk about it. Not to embarrass you, but to help you. Christian friend, this morning in your life, you take advantage of the opportunity, this invitation, to come and kneel here and say, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen my prayer life. Or Lord, help me to trust you. I'm in a difficult time. Help me to trust you. You may need to come and pray that, but you come this morning. Father, I love you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to expose this church to another time in the Word. You are only a prayer away. And help us this morning to be all that we can be and should be in this practice of prayer. I know I have needs in my own life where I need to grow in this area. And so, Father, help us this month to, if you would, grow up in this area of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.